Sure do appreciate all the specials and just everybody putting their heart and soul into the services. I know that the Lord is pleased. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Hallelujah. So I meant to mention it, just a reminder this morning, that we have a guest minister speaking next Sunday. Not going to tell you who, because it shouldn't matter. Amen. Right? Amen. You're going to come anyway, so we're looking forward to it. We haven't had hardly any guest ministers for a while, and because of this COVID situation, and then also, so we had kind of two extremes going on. We had ministers that we had booked, but then chose not to travel, and I completely respect that. And then we had the other extreme of ones that were traveling very liberally and didn't want to do any kind of quarantining, and we respect that too if that's what you want to do. But we felt led to do things a certain way here, and so far it's proven to be a good course. We haven't had to close the church down, and we give the Lord all the any credit, glory, whatever, because He gives you whatever leading He gives you, and if we just follow His leading, it's not always easy to do, but if you do what the Lord leads you to do, you should expect good results, right? Praise the Lord. Present Truth Part 7. Romans chapter 8, 15th verse, if you wouldn't mind standing again tonight. So we had a baptism this afternoon. We were a little nervous about it because we committed ourselves. We committed to do it, and then at my house, it's really raining. Which, it doesn't happen like that very often. And it's because I haven't sprayed it's because I haven't put pre-emergence down, you know. So all the weeds are going to start coming up now. I'm not going to speak that into existence. We were excited to have the baptism this afternoon, and it did briefly stop raining, and then it started again when myself and Sister Emma stood out in the courtyard waiting for the other musicians who were under a covered roof in the fellowship hall. We didn't get the memo, so. That's a really good idea. So, anyway, we expect the Lord to fill Oscar with the Holy Spirit. We're following the prescription. You repent, you're baptized in Christian baptism. There's a promise. It comes with it. Now, I realized today, too late, of course, that, we've done a lot of baptisms over the years, and we used to give just a little bit of instruction ahead of time, and then for whatever reason, we thought we didn't need to anymore, but anyway, we've had people that have been baptized, actually, not us, but we've been connected with people that have been baptized, and they didn't go all the way under the water, and then people were upset over that, and some doubt over whether the baptism was legitimate because they didn't go all the way under the water. So we're a thorough Baptist. We believe in complete immersion, but you probably need to communicate that with whoever's being baptized. And so I was trying to baptize our brother, and I think he thought I was trying to drown him. And he came up gasping for air, and he's probably going to tell Mom and Dad, I ain't never doing that again. And they'll tell him, that's all right, son, you don't have to. And he said, die out. He meant die out. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Oscar, we weren't trying to kill you. But you did go under. So, thank the Lord for that. Yeah. What in the world? Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, when I discovered, I'd read that my whole Baptist life, but it didn't really strike home until the Lord really got a hold of my heart and the message of the hour came across my path, and I was born again of the Spirit, truly. And then the Lord led me right to the scripture to remind me, because, you know, you start getting around other people, and some say this, and some say that, and you just want to be right. You're not, and especially when you get around people that have been in this longer than you, and actually everybody had been in it longer than me when I came in 1989. So everybody wanted to be my big brother and tell me it was this and that. And it was most of the time there was an element of fear that came with, you know, I'm just going to tell you, but. You know, there's consequences. So the message was, there's consequences if you don't go along with how I see it, you know. And that there's fear. When you truly give your heart to the Lord, die out, you're born again of the Spirit, you're trusting Him to lead you and guide you in all truth. He's not going to scare you into a rapture, right? It's a love affair, right? So I'm so thankful. I mean, my whole life was, I had night fears. I had library fears. You know, when you walk to the library and you think everybody's thinking about you. Just, I mean, you name it. I had fears. And I'm born again of the Spirit, and He took away my fear. I don't want to pick it up again. And I don't believe, I think religion is what brings fear. But true Christianity sets you free. Amen. Hallelujah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. You cry out by revelation, you're my Father. Amen. I came from you. Amen. You're, and I'm going back to you. Amen. And nobody can stop it. I'll make mistakes. I'll believe things wrongly, but you'll set me right. And the only way I'll get right is by you, and I'm trusting in you, right? Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. And that's, how many can say amen to that? Amen. There's just a peace that passes all understanding. You know that you've passed from death unto life. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Isn't that something to think that creation is expecting the God of the earth to return and for the sons of God to be made manifest? So if nature expects that, how much more should we? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. So we didn't ask to be made subject to vanity, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. So there's a divine purpose to it. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Amen. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand before You, Lord, we thank You for our little brother Oscar. Amen. We know that all heaven is rejoicing right about now. We know that this is a banner day in heaven. And Lord, a name that was written on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world comes to their recognition of who and what they are and who you are. And Lord, accepts the price that you paid. And Lord, makes the choice to die out to themselves. And Lord, to allow you to come and rebirth and to rule and reign, to live, to lead and to guide and to, Lord, to just to be our all in all. So we thank you, Lord, and we know that heaven's rejoicing this evening as well. Now, Father, as we go into the Word one more time tonight, we just ask that you would quicken it to our minds, to our hearts, and Lord, that you'd just continue as you always do, that you continue to answer questions that are on the hearts and minds of the people. And Lord, as we pull on the gift and as we look to you, and all credit, all honor, all glory, we don't have to tell anybody. It's certainly encouraging to share these things with one another, but we don't need to. We recognize that you're doing these things, and just as you said that you would, and we fully expect these things to continue to take place. We just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one now, Lord. And Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So, we've now come to the place where God has set individuals apart, and he's gifted them, and he's placed an adoption robe over them. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I suppose I had to read that quote to you. I didn't have it in my notes this morning or this evening, but Brother Branham firmly, there's absolutely no question that that robe is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we know that Satan has blinded the church to its full inheritance. And if I was the devil, which I'm not, but if I was, that's what I would do too. I'd try to keep you from recognizing who and what you are. And when it's revealed to the true church just who they are, then Satan loses his grip. And an invincible army steps forth. It's already been declared that we are invincible. Amen. By his word, that we cannot be defeated. And friends, we've seen it in the natural. We look at Israel, and with all of their warts and all of their problems, all of their mistakes, all of their failures, we recognize that God fought for them. And that, you know, as long as there was no unconfessed sin in the camp, they fully expected to win every battle. And they did. How much more for those that are born again, that been washed in his blood, born again of the Spirit. So as long as we're waiting for the power to come, which has become kind of a routine and a habit of the church, as long as we're waiting for the adoption robe to come, which is a false teaching that's been propagated in the church, well, then we're impotent, we're helpless, and we're just spectators and bystanders. And Satan will say to us, you are now powerless. You need to grow up first, right? How many's heard that one? You need to, you still make mistakes. Don't be proud, you lowly cut off, you lowly, you know, who do you think you are? Right? You're just, you know who you are. You know what you are. Now, that's just Satan talking to you. And that's Satan trying to get you to identify with your first birth. And friends, we have no argument with him. When it comes to our first birth, we're not saying good things about our first birth. We're not saying that it's been patched up. We're not saying that somehow it's been made better. We're talking about the new birth. We're talking about who we are being born from above. So we must look into the mirror of God's word, and we must see ourselves clearly. We must see what the vision declares. And then we must look in that vision and see where we're at in that vision. Right? And then look at where we're at and, and what needs to be done to fill in the rest of the vision, if you will. So we know that I'm kind of reviewing some things as I typically do, because we don't all attend every service, and then we have new people coming in and out. I hope it doesn't. Thank you for your patience. I'll just put it that way. Okay. Thank you for your patience, because I want everybody to be on the same page. If I just have to stop and preach to one person, I'll do that, because we're all trying to grow the same place, same direction, and we need to hear the word. So we know that we've arrived in the seventh age, and we know that it's a time of adoption, and we know that we're awaiting the fullness, which is the fullness of our adoption is the change of our body. And we've already had the rights given to us to our inheritance. We've had those rights since Jesus paid the price on Calvary. But now it's come the time to fully possess our inheritance. You know, as we talked about Abraham was told, wherever your foot goes, that this land is yours, and it's to your children, it's to your children's children, and so on and so forth. And yet, when Abraham's wife Sarah died, he had no place to bury her, because he didn't possess anything in the land, right? He had to pay a price for something that already belonged to him in order to bury his wife. So there's a difference between having rights to an inheritance and then actually possessing our inheritance. So you must see yourself as a son or daughter of God, and you must see that you have a right to operate as sons and daughters of God. Right. And not feel, Jesus said he thought it not robbery to call himself equal with God, right? It was God in flesh. You have to think it not robbery to call yourself a son of God or a daughter of God, a joint heir. Amen. So this monitor is just a little hot. You can turn it down just a little bit. Thank you. So we now have the authority right now to bind and to loose. Actually, that authority was given to the church. Jesus told that to Peter before Peter was born again. He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you loose is loosed. Whatever you bind is bound. And we have that authority. And we know that our adoption is receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we know that we're positionally placed in the body when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we don't have to wait for something. We're not waiting for Father to say, okay, you look like you're coming along, and you look like you're getting a little better, you look like you're getting, I think I can trust you now. You'll never be born again if you're not trustworthy. And you're trustworthy if you're a son or daughter of God. Period. And you've been sealed until the day of your redemption. Now there are, if you don't get this straight, yes, there are quotes that if you're going into this with a certain mindset, there are quotes that would seem to support that certain mindset, but it won't dovetail all the way through. For instance, Brother Branham talked about in one place that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour and still go to hell, right? But he was speaking to a different crowd, and he was speaking to the Pentecostals that a lot of them had the baptism on their spirit. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit, be sweet, shout, run around, have tingles, chills, and then go out and, just disrespect somebody else in the parking lot, not shake hands, and run the pastor down, whatever, run the church down. Well, you're not born again. That's why you do that, right? You don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the soul. But so you have to make these quotes dovetail, because in another place, he says, if you've been born again of the Spirit, you can't die any more than God can die, right? And Paul said, you've been sealed to the day of your redemption. Right? Nothing can break that seal. So we have to recognize what's taking place, and then we must have confidence in that. We know that we will make mistakes, right? But we're not trying to make mistakes. It's not our goal. But we have a different we have different desires in our heart than what we used to have before we were born again. And we've been given a promise that we will reach the goal. So you have to see yourself as a son or daughter of God, and then you have to see that you have every right to operate as one, and that you have the authority right now to loose and to bind, and that you've been sealed unto the day of your redemption. God can't lose you. You know, it causes all these other scriptures to dovetail too. He said, "Lord, Father, I thank you. All that you've given me will come. I won't lose any." Right? Some churches, the way they teach it, it's like there's this trial basis that's going on. That God's, you know, like the foolish virgin is, she could have been bride, but because she was foolish, then she ends up being foolish virgin. But that's not true at all. The foolish virgin, the truth of it is, the foolish virgin does what she does because she's foolish. The bride does what she does because she's wise. And she's desiring that oil. She's desiring the Holy Spirit because of who she is. Because she's because they're sons and daughters of God. So you've come up through justification. You've come up through sanctification. You've come up through the restoration of the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the person of the Word coming down inside of you to sup with you and you with Him. And you are proven to be material that will be about your Father's business. He's not watching you to see if you're going to be about His business and then decide whether to adopt you or not. Friends, you wouldn't get born again of the Spirit of God if you're not going to serve Him. And the Scripture says, "And beloved, we are now the sons of God, sons and daughters of God." So we're growing in faith, of course, as we exercise our authority. But the power is in you now to raise your mortal body. And we've read several quotes to you over the last few weeks where Brother Branham said that God will cause you to do whatever you will believe, whatever your faith will cause you to believe, God will perform it in your life, right? So we know that we're growing. We know that there's a process that's taking place. We know that when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're not fully mature. You're not fully developed, but you're going to come to full maturity, and the virtues will be manifested in your life. And whether we like it or not, it'll take trials to bring them on the scene in our life. I mean, honestly, friends, what better proof than to put you in a situation where you should have been, you should have acted, you know, you should have blown your top, right? But instead, you felt sorry for the person, or, you know, and you did it unconsciously. It wasn't, and then you recognize a little later on, wow, you know, I can't believe that. In times past, I would have took that person's head off, right? But I didn't act that way. I didn't act out of the first birth. Instead, there was something in me that caused me to feel sorry for that person, to pray for that person. And you just recognize that's the character or the virtues of Christ in you being made manifest. And so these things, they must come into manifestation just as fruit must eventually be manifested on a tree. And we grow in faith as we exercise our authority. But the power's in us already. We're not waiting for power. So that's the point that I'm trying to get to. We're not waiting for power to do the things that we're called to do, the things that we've been given the authority to do. The power is here. Yeah. So we're growing in faith, we're growing in knowledge, we're growing in our understanding, and our character is continually being honed along the way. But that doesn't have a thing to do with whether you're adopted or not. And I can't tell you, friends, I can't tell you how many, this is why I'm belaboring it. There might be one person that this will help tonight. And if it helps that one person, this is worth it, right? Because I can't tell you how many in other churches that I've visited and people coming up for prayer and different things, and they're looking for something that they already have. And they're being told that they don't have it and that they need to continue to seek for it. And so much of the time, the proof of whether they have it or not is whether they believe or whether they can explain a certain doctrine or whether they'll, you know, go the party line on a certain teaching. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. So we are still learning obedience as we're tried and tested. The scripture said that our Lord Jesus, through suffering, he learned obedience. But he was sealed the whole time. He wasn't on a trial basis to see if he's worthy to be sealed, right? And if not, then throw him in the junk pile. He's the Son of God. In the same sense, you're sons and daughters of God. So, you know, that weeding out takes place before the new birth. If you're not truly a son or daughter of God, you'll never get the new birth. Because the new birth is only for those that can be born again. Others will be given life on the other side. They'll be given white robes on the other side. But to you, you've been called to that from your mother's womb. So we're still learning obedience. We saw that our prophet was learning obedience, and he was humble enough and honest enough to let us know, you know, when he was disobedient and how he suffered for it and how he didn't make those same mistakes again because he paid a great price for them at different times. But and so as it was in his life, then it certainly is, you know, the consequences are not as dire for you and I because the calling isn't as high as it was for him. But there are still consequences. But as Jesus walked out of the wilderness, he immediately had power. He received the Holy Ghost at the water's edge. He went out into the wilderness 40 days. When he walked out, he immediately had power. It wasn't something that he had to wait for. It's getting real quiet. So I'm dealing with something that I need to be dealing with here tonight. Right? I trust that you're listening and thinking. But so do you. You have all the power that you're ever going to have, you have right now. In fact, you have in you right now the power to change your body. I have no idea when you're going to leave this earth. So if you're not gassed up ahead of time, if Sister Julie would have just stuck around just a little bit longer, we could have given her a little bit more of a refill, but she missed out, so she'll never come up. No, the power's in you. The power's in you when you're on top of the mountain. The power's in you when you're in the valley. The power's in you when you're sad. The power's in you when you're glad. The power is in you. And it will change your mortal body. Now, God is going to adopt a church which is made up of adopted sons. Now, doesn't that make sense to you that in order for God to adopt the church, that the individuals that make up the church have to be adopted already? I mean, it wouldn't make sense any other way. On the day of Pentecost, this church was born. And it grew in the Ephesian age. But God had more than just Ephesians. God had more than just an Alpha church. There were more names that were written on the Lamb's Book of Life that were going to come forth, that needed to come forth. So God was going to build a church. And the church would be made up of names that were written on the book of life before the foundation of the world. But they would come forth in different seasons different ages throughout the church ages. And so God's building a church, starting at Ephesus and progressing onward through the other ages. And the body of Christ then is growing up in each age until this body comes to a place where they reach, where this body reaches the place of ascension, the top. And Paul thought that it would be his age that the Lord would come a second time. And who would, you know, who would blame him for thinking that? You know, the Lord told us that he was going to return, and he made other statements that you could run off and make doctrines. He said, some of you are standing here will not taste death until you see the Lord coming in his glory. And so they're thinking, oh, you know, some of us may go the way of the grave, but there's others of us, we're in that season of the coming of the Lord. They were in a great expectation for the second coming of the Lord. And that's been true in every age. Everyone that's been born of the Spirit of God throughout the ages, every single one has been in expectation. Lord, you're coming. Lord, you're coming. Lord, you're coming. And we understand that Paul thought that it would be in his age, but God held that back from Paul. Paul couldn't see that there were seven ages to come. If he would have saw it, he would have preached on it. But he didn't see it. It was John that saw that and preached on it. Or excuse me, and wrote about it. And then it was actually fully revealed to us in the day that we're living in. It was shown to John in symbol form. Now, friends, if God would have told Paul and the church at that time, you know what? Paul, you're going to go into the grave, and there's going to be other generations that come, and they're going to go into the grave, and then there's going to be more generations after that, and they're going to go into the grave, and this is going to go on for hundreds and hundreds, oh, thousands of years, for 2,000 years. Let's just be exact. This is going to go on for 2,000 plus years. Guess what would have taken place? Well, first of all, Satan would have done a lot of damage if that had been made known in the beginning. He would have done a lot of damage to the church. And no age would have died rapture ready, because no age would have been looking for the coming of the Lord except the last age. But everyone had to go into the grave with the expectation that he's coming, that he's coming. Every age had to be rapture ready in order to go in the rapture. So Paul said, we won't all sleep. Although some of us are dying, you know, but we're not all going to sleep. And he said, comfort one another with these words. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we will all be changed, he says. We, he says, which are alive and remain. Now, friends, words are important. Words have meaning. He didn't say those that which are alive and remain. He said we. He included himself in that. In every age, they died under the expectation that it would be in their day that the Lord would return. And that's how it's supposed to be. That's how God wanted it to be. And Jesus himself gave us a hint of this. He said, you know not what hour that the Son of Man cometh. That if the strong man of the house would have known, you know, he would have guarded the jewels instead of being robbed. If he'd have known the time that the house was going to be broken into, right, in type. So there were more that were to come whose names were, now God didn't tell Paul, now Paul, there's 952,743 bride members. You know, in the Old Testament, we were told there's going to be 144,000 of the remnant of Israel, and we're told that there's so many days and so much number. But with the New Testament church, there is a number, and there is an appointed time. But we're not told what the appointed time is, and we don't know what the number is, right? But we know that there is a number. So there were more yet to come than those that had lived in this first church age, and more names that were to come. and to be manifested on the earth, to be revealed, to be redeemed, for the high priest to intercede on their behalf. And so it goes on through the early ages, then it goes on through the Lutheran age, through the Wesley age, until finally it comes to the end of this last age where we receive the rapture message. Now, this is important. We know that we're told that rapturing grace lies in this message, and that rapturing faith, right? And that this message will give us the faith that we need for a rapture, right? Well, this message this is our message. This is the message that's preached to this last church age. Now, there's a whole lot of it that was preached in the first church age. There's a whole lot of it which is a restored message. But there are things that we've been taught, and there are things that we've seen that haven't been seen in other ages, right? And the purpose of it is to produce that faith that's needed for a rapture. So it's a rapturing message. We know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So our message has within it, it will produce the faith that we need for a rapture. Are you with me? So we can call it a rapture message, right? It's more than just a rapture message, but that's quite a lot, right? It's a rapture message. So this, what I'm trying to say is that this message is necessary in order for there to be a rapture. A revelation was held back from every age until our day in order to produce this rapturing faith. The messages, so there were seven angel messengers to the seven church ages, and every message that they brought, there was a supernatural element that yet remained, that was held back. And it was revealed here in the time of the end, right? And the purpose of it is to produce faith for a rapture. So we read about it in Revelation chapter 10. But when we reach the end, when we reach, when we come to the very end of the age and the last one comes in, well, the final revelation has to be revealed. All the loose ends are tied together in one message. So that was one part of the purpose of sending the messenger, was to tie up all these loose ends, right? But then the mysterious element that had been left off to each age is now revealed. You know, just one example of that would be Luther's message, right? Luther preached justification by faith, which is certainly scriptural. But the way Luther preached it was that you're forgiven, right? But the supernatural element that yet remained is that you find out when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're not forgiven. You never did it. You never did it to begin with. You never did it in the first place. You find out who and what you were in the first place. The real you. You were in the mind of God. So there's no way you could have done it in the mind of God in the first place. Right? Neither did you have the desire to do it. Friends, if you hadn't have bypassed your theophany, if you would have went directly from the mind of God into your theophany, you never would have sinned. Amen. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's what this message is trying to get us to see. You are sinless. So what do you have to be forgiven of? Now, this part, yes, this part we got to apologize for daily. This part we've got to ask for forgiveness. This part needs to be humbled. This part needs to confess. But that part of you that's been born again of the Spirit of God, you're not even capable of sinning. Because sin is unbelief, and you believe. And why do you believe? Because you're a son or daughter of God. You're a believer. We use that term so loosely, and yet we don't realize how powerful it is. You know, some churches will say, we're the believers. Well, good. That's a good thing to call yourself. But what is a believer? Somebody that believes. Not somebody that's trying to believe. Not somebody that believes sometimes and they don't believe other times. You're a believer or you're not a believer. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're a believer. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So, all the loose ends have been tied up. The mysterious element that had been left off in each age. Now, Brother Branham said this. This is, I'm quoting from the message. Is now revealed. And we have the full word, which will produce the fullness of redemption for the body. The voice of the archangel now sounds forth from a bride body that's on the earth. It's still his voice, but it's another body that it's sounding forth from, right? It's God's voice on the earth, hear ye him. And we are God's ambassadors. We are individually, we might have received the Holy Ghost at various times. And if you receive the Holy Ghost, you've been robed with the Holy Ghost. And that puts us into service. And what we're being put into service to do is to take that word and defeat the enemy. But I want to be clear on where we're at this evening. With all of that, we have not yet the power to deliver all nature. We don't have that yet. And it's not yet, well, let me put it another way. We might have the power, but we don't have the faith for it because we're not supposed to do it. It's not given to us to deliver all nature right now. It's not quite yet time to deliver all nature. That time's coming. And we still bury some believers, and there's absolutely no shame or there's nothing wrong. There's nothing awry. We still bury some believers because their time has come. We still have some that get sick and die on us and go on to be with the Lord. And we don't have permission to loosen the binding on everybody that we see that's bound. Yeah, we have the power. But on some, we do. On some, we are called to loosen the binding. We've been called at times to take authority over sickness, to take authority over death at times, but not over all sickness and not over all death, right? Because it's not yet time. So we're now at the last age, but we're still waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. We have received temporary raptures, if you will, healings, temporary healings, but our bodies are still dying. I'm looking at every one of you tonight. There's not one of you that's getting stronger. Even you young pups that are lifting weights, you're not getting stronger. Your body is breaking down, albeit slower than mine. But we're all dying. You know, if we could just accept that, we are all dying, right? Yet the power is there to change the body. What a great paradox that is, right? But we all have to come to the place together where the church is going to be adopted. So in other words, it's not going to be, Brother Manuel Jose, he's a 4.5 student, not just 4.0, you know. What is that, honors, all honors classes, and so, you know, it's A++. So that's why he's not here tonight, because his body was changed. He was an advanced student. I don't care how advanced you are. And I don't care who you are. We all get changed. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. We all get changed at the same time. Amen. The dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Not in a, let me think about it or let me try a little harder. We'll all be changed at the same time. So it's a body, a complete body being adopted at the same time. But it's made up of adopted sons and daughters of God. So the first of creation to be delivered is man. Because man's at the top of the of the chain. Man is the god of the earth, and it's the man that fell. And when man fell, it was his kingdom that fell because he fell. And so the man has to be restored first before his kingdom can be restored, before everything else can be restored. So man fell, and then from man, all the rest of the kingdom fell. But God is bringing man back to the place where Adam fell from in the beginning. And we saw several identifications of the third pole in Brother Branham's ministry, but not every storm or every tumor was spoken to. Just some, right? We know that all creation is groaning, and we are still in a time of groaning. In fact, nature is going to continue to groan until we come back with Christ at the end of the millennium, because everything's still not right until after the millennium. But it all starts with your change. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we shall be changed. Okay, now that you've kind of wondered about it, let me give you quotes for it. Christ is a mystery. He says, God expressed in Jesus Christ, who is both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. The preeminence. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was poured into the church. The believers. Well, if you've been baptized by one spirit into one body, you're the church. And if you're the church, you're the believers. So it's good. You know, was that what it was called in San Luis Obispo, the believers? Yeah. Well, what a good, why do we have to call ourselves Protestant, Presbyterian, two souls, big whoop, whatever? Why do we have to come up with the believers? That sounds pretty good to me. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you're a believer. If you haven't, you're trying to believe at best. And if you'll just be obedient, there's a reward for you. You'll be judged by your works. So we've got to keep our types running correctly. We've already received our adoption robes as individuals. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Those that went on before us received their robes as well. But we all receive our glorified bodies on the mountain of change at the same time, at the end of the age. Jesus was baptized, and then he was proven in every way, and then was changed on a mountain. There aren't two baptisms, though. There isn't, you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but you could still lose that. But now you're pressing on, you're trying to get all these virtues in you, and then you're going to be sealed again. That's crazy. You're either sealed or you're not sealed. And you're sealed when you're born again of the Spirit of God. Now, I know I'm belaboring it, but I'm going to belabor it until you have confidence to say amen to it, because otherwise you don't know where you're at. Otherwise, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, I'm a, right? Brother Branham, when he preached in the Ephesian series, he said, you know, that God was trying to get out of you the thought, I'm saved today, I'm lost tomorrow, and you know, he shows you predestination, and he said you can't really see that until you have been born again. But once you've been born again of the Spirit, now you can look back, right, and see that you never were lost, to see that you always were a son or daughter of God. You can't see that until you're born again, but once you're born again, you can see that you always were, right? You still had to go through that, but God had his eye on you from the very beginning. So you believe on the Lord, you lay yourself on the altar, you ask God to kill that old nature, and there comes a work of sanctification in your life before the Holy Ghost can come down and live in the individual. Now that can take place in a day, or a month, or a year. There's no set time on that, but it must be done. That work, because God's not going to put his spirit in a garbage can. He's got to give you a spirit that can get along with yourself, get along with others, get along with God. Got to clean you up before he puts you into service. So Brother Branham was addressing this in the teachings on stature of a perfect man. And when I came into the message, and initially I was seeking the new birth because I knew I was missing something. I didn't know exactly what it would be like to be born again of the Spirit of God, but I knew I was missing something because I knew I was on a roller coaster and I couldn't go a week. You know, I'd get all enthused and all excited. Yeah, I'm gonna be good and I'm gonna try this and try that. But you know, you can't do this. You can't. If you could live this kind of a life, why do you need a Savior? And why do you need a new birth? Why do you need a change if you could just set your mind to it? No, actually what has to happen is it has to be proven to you that you can't do it. You've got to go ahead and try and work your way through it. And then when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you just give up and say, okay, God, I need you to do something. He's like, finally, I got you where you need to be, right? So Brother Branham was addressing this in the teachings on stature of a perfect man. And it seemed like, at least out here in the West, those were messages that were kind of being focused on in the early 90s. I don't know where each of you were at that time, but there was a lot of preaching on it. And there was a lot of debating, and there were some churches that were, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like only the preachers have been sealed. Everybody else, you know, they're kind of, you got to get this and that and the other. And yet, you know, one of the preachers got a temper that would fight a buzzsaw. And so you wonder, you know, you don't want to go fishing with him. The last guy you saw fishing, you saw the guy in the boat going like this. You thought, man, that's not my kind of fishing. Why is the associate pastor in his own boat? And yet there was this insistence, this crazy insistence that we're, you know, we're still missing something. Isn't that what was being preached? We're still missing something, right? So we just need a supercalifragilistic kind of meeting, you know? Expialidocious and all that. We just, you know, and if we didn't have one of these kind of everybody rolling in the aisles kind of a meeting, then we're backslid, you know, because we got to just keep having, you know, just screaming, shouting, running the aisles kind of meetings because we're missing something, and we need to get this in case we end up falling away. You know, it's ridiculous. It puts it back on works, right? Only this time it's kind of a doctrinal work. So there was lots of different teaching on stature of a perfect man. And, you know, when Brother Branham was addressing this, he's speaking to the Pentecostal church, which is who he was sent to. And the Pentecostal church was claiming to be born again of the Spirit of God. And yet the women, they were told that it was wrong to cut their hair, and they kept doing it. And the men were told it was wrong to do this, that, and the other, and they kept doing it, right? And they had tempers that would fight a buzzsaw, and all these different things. And Brother Branham's trying to show him, look, something's missing. Something isn't meeting this pattern. Because, you know, if you've come to the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ, where's the beef? You know? So that's why he was teaching on that. He wasn't teaching on it to show that, you know, there's some new process that came up that Paul didn't teach on. See, that's the key. Paul would have had to have taught it differently if we're going to teach it differently. And there are churches to this day that believes that the new birth comes a different way today than it did before. It don't. If it comes a different way, it's not, it wasn't so from the beginning, right? This faith is being restored. It's the original faith that was once delivered to the saints. So it has to match the pattern. So Brother Branham addresses in his teachings some of these issues in the series that we call the stature of a perfect man. How God brings you through a birth process where you're built up to be the tabernacle of the living God. And he did the same for the church over seven ages. He justifies you, he sanctifies you, he quickens you by the Holy Spirit, and then he comes in to dwell in you. But whatever you will be is in that seed that's already in you. Yes. It's not being added to you. It was in you when you came to this earth. Yes. It was laying there dormant. It was waiting to be quickened. But whatever you're ever going to be, it's in that seed. The spoken word is the original seed. But whatever is in that seed is what you are. But it needs to be made manifest, right? And to be made manifest, it has to be quickened. It's got to be watered. It's got to come into contact with the sun, right? So that it can start growing. And then eventually it's going to bring forth fruit. And the fruit that it's going to bring forth testifies what kind of a seed it is. And you see that at the harvest time. So we're not adding, you know, we're not taking a hypodermic needle and trying to inject things into us. Oh, I need more of this, and so I need to have it injected. No, what you need to do is surrender. And say, God, take control. Take full control. Let that nature manifest in this part of my life and that part of my life, right? So it's really kind of, the whole approach is the opposite of what we were taught in religion. Because in religion, we're trying to do this and we're trying to do that. And we've been given this handout and given this booklet. And got to do this and got to do that and got to go to every altar call. And got to boo-hoo and got to snot. You know, the guy with the longest snot's the most spiritual. The one that can roll the farthest, you know, whatever. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's actually kind of, you know, kind of the figures of merit, you know, how people measure these things. But that's not it at all, right? You're born again. So think about the early church. When they received the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, do you read later on where they were sealed? Do you read later on where Peter was adopted? Where Paul was adopted? No. They received the Holy Ghost. And then they started acting like believers from the very day that they received the Holy Ghost. They had to learn. They had to be coached. Peter had to be corrected. And Peter proved that he was the Son of God because the Holy Spirit, working through Paul, corrected Peter, and Peter received it. So it shows that there's still growth and maturity that will take place. But as far as adoption, you're adopted. The fullness of our adoption is the change of our bodies. But the portion, so here's the key. That part of you that's born again of the Spirit of God has passed from death unto life, right? And is in heavenly places. It is in eternity, right? It is communing with Him and Him with you, right? So the work is done in regards to the soul. But He's still working on this other realm. And we're waiting for this other realm to catch up. Will you quit going to sleep on me? Thank you. Okay. So God is bringing individuals first to an adoption. And then He brings the body together. Gathering together, as we've read in the scriptures, gathering together all things in one, in Christ Jesus. We know that it's a multi-membered body that covers the globe in each age. And we know that it's a portion of the body in each age. And then you take all the ages together and it makes up the entire body. So He's bringing us all to the unity of the faith until we all come to the unity of the faith as a body. So it's not enough to just bring you to the unity of the faith and you to the unity of the faith. We all have to be brought to the unity of the faith, right? So that means there's no dummies here tonight, okay? That means that there's no inferior bride members. You're either a son or daughter of God or you aren't. And if you are, you're going to attain that goal. And we're all going to come to that place together. So He brings to us a rapturing message in order to bring this body to a unity and to a rapturing condition. So friends, one of the purposes of going through this is that we've all been hurt. We've all been around dogmatic people And some of us, the way we respond to that is we just kind of regress, we just kind of pull back, and we don't even want to discuss things because we're not argumentative, and we know that some people get real passionate about it, and they'll want to put you on the spot and say, okay, so what is your stand on this, you know? They're giving you a word test, and so your thought is, well, I'm just not going to talk about it because I don't think we need to, you know? And God's leading me, and you just believe what you believe, and I believe what I believe, and you know, eventually we'll all believe the same thing. Well, it's a nice thought, but that's not how it's going to happen, right? We need to get to where, maybe there was a season for that, maybe there was a purpose for that, but as we're growing up, we should be able to discuss. We need to be able to discuss what we believe, right? And yes, it will be the Spirit of God that reveals it to each and every one of us. But for us, how will we know when we've come to the unity of the faith? Because we're talking. Because we're, you know, asking questions and working it out. We want to be right. And we're doing these things in a non-threatening way. It's okay to not have the answer. And it's okay to, realize that the answer will come to you later on. Right? But it's not okay to think that we can all just believe something different and that we're all going to be together in the end. How's that going to happen? It's this rapturing message in this day that's bringing you and I to a unity and to a rapturing condition. And the full power of the Holy Ghost is in the church tonight. It's in the body tonight. So we are at the very place where the church has been brought to receive the full word, to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to receive the person of Christ himself. So it's no longer just a work of faith in our lives. It's no longer, and it's more than just sanctification. And we're not putting those things down. Those things are necessary. And it's more than a gift of the Spirit. And it's more than prophecy. It is the fullness that's in the body now to bring us back into full custody of the book that Adam surrendered when he fell. So we're living in the age of many sons and many daughters. And those that are in the ground shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of eye, will be caught up together with them, right? But what I want you to see tonight is that they're waiting on us, right? We have to, the vision is described a certain way, and we have to match that vision before they can come forth from the grave, right? Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we've received the adoption. This is not something in our future. We don't receive a spirit and then later on receive another spirit, right? If you've received the spirit, you have the spirit of adoption. Simple. Verse 16, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not that we're trying to be, not that we're going to be and then we're going to get kicked out of the family. No, you are a child of God. Yeah. Now, so you're testifying of him, but now that you've been born again of the Spirit, he's testifying of you. Yeah. His Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. Yeah. So you now have the right to act upon your inheritance. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus, or joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified. Notice this, together. We will be glorified together. So Revelation chapter 10 shows us that we shall prophesy again. It shows that there's a people that will have full authority once again. It shows a people who will be the final voice to the final age. She will prophesy again because she'll say the very same thing that's already been said, but she's saying it with revelation. It's word that's been revealed to her. So Revelation 12 shows us we will cast Satan down. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, you know, you might have been tempted to read this and think that this was talking about what took place before the beginning. But no, this is taking place here in the end time. Because they are in heavenly places. We've been through that. We've brought you quotes. We brought you scriptures showing you how the heavens are contaminated. And how Satan is accusing the brethren before the throne. Right? But there's a battle waging right now. And the dragon is fighting with his angels. But there comes a time when he prevails not. Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. That's the tribulation period. Cast out to the earth. He becomes incarnate in a man or a beast. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Amen. So friends, we will take the dead in Christ with us when we leave here. We're not leaving anything behind that's our inheritance, right? We're not going to leave our loved ones behind. We're not leaving anybody in the grave. And we will deliver all nature. That is in our future. That will happen. But we start with the dead in Christ. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 5. Brother Branham says, and now nature in itself is groaning, waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. For the sons of God to be manifested. And we have the earnest of our salvation now. And can take our brother that's dying with cancer and stand by that little breath of redemption and pray the prayer of faith over him that'll turn a shadow of a man back to a healthy man again. What will we do when our full possession comes? Amen. Amen. Nature knows that. Nature's groaning, and we're groaning with it. Nature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God because nature was cursed with its master. When its master was cursed, the highest, then nature fell with the master. But when the kinsman redeemer come, hallelujah, and redeem back the man that's master over nature, then all nature is waiting for the main master. He says, what do we do? We take the axe, slip it in our hands, and chop the tree down if we want to. But that day, we won't do that. Amen. All nature is waiting for its master. And the master, listen to this, and the master is the sons of God that was given this earth. If there wouldn't have been a fall in the beginning, you would have come forth. Eventually, Adam would have spoke your name. And Eve would have said, amen. That ain't nothing but the truth. Let it be so here on the earth as it is in heaven. She would have agreed. And her faith would have been the bedding ground that would have allowed that name to come forth. Right? So we've established something here. There has to be a believing Eve in order for these names to come forth. What is resurrection, friends? This resurrection that's going to take place is all the names that would have come forth that are coming forth. Every single one will come forth, but there has to be an Eve on the earth that's agreeing. the Master is the sons of God that was given this earth. So if our names would have been spoke, if Eve would have believed, we would have come forth. I would have maybe been king of Arizona. No, I'm going to take Montana. No, I don't know. I want to be wherever God wants me to be, right? Think about it, friends. Oh, we'd go so many different directions with this thought. Do you realize demons right now are ruling over different nations instead of you? The authority that they're taking and stirring this up and stirring that up and setting this law and that and saying what can be and what can't be, those are demons. But it wasn't demons that was supposed to do that. It was sons of God. You were to take dominion. So they have to be cast down, and you have to ascend into your position. And in the millennium, we will be ruling and reigning as we were supposed to, as sons of God. The Master is the sons of God that was given this earth. Now God will have his heavens, of course, but this was given to men. And the kinsman redeemer come to redeem us back to that we lost. How beautiful. My, I just think of that. A lamb redeemer. When the work is finished, we have all things again. What kind of all things? Well, we have all power. We have eternal life. We have eternal health. We have eternal youth. We have eternal power. Oh, we're just eternal with the eternal. And then we're all waiting for that time to come, waiting and groaning and waiting. And this sevenfold book of seven redemption plans has been brought to us. And that's what this book holds. Now we're going to get over in the 10th chapter where this mighty angel proclaims something. And he had a little book that John had to eat. And when he did, he got it into his belly and it was bitter. But in his lips it was sweet. When you have digested, then it gets bitter. Everybody's against you. Everybody's telling you you're a holy roller. You're this. You're that. You're the other. See, you're off your head. You're a cult member. You're a maniac. So it's hard to digest it, he says. But when you're testifying of his glory, oh, it's sweet in your lips. That's all. And when you stand up in a meeting, you say, glory to God, hallelujah. He says, oh, when you're going through that great siege, it's hard. But then when you're out of the great siege, you can testify of it. Then it's sweet in your lips. See, that's right. That's this book of redemption. So nature will not be fully delivered in the rapture. There's a process that's in place. The dead in Christ shall rise first, come to the earth, pick up bodies. You know, isn't it kind of strange? We're all wanting to get over there, but they're like, no, you don't want to be over there. You want to come back over here because they're not complete. The dead in Christ will rise first, come to the earth, pick up bodies, and then those of us that are alive and remain, we will unite with our theophany. And then step into our body. Nature is waiting for its master, which is, Brother Branham said, sons of God. Now that's the other thing that too many have done with this message. They've made Brother Branham the son of God. That's actually blasphemy. Because there's only one the son of God, right? The rest of us are sons of God. Now surely Brother Branham will always have a higher position than I do. Right? And I'm thankful for that. I don't want his job. I don't want my job. I complain about my job. I couldn't handle his job. I wasn't cut out for it. Right? But he was. Right? So we will all have different positions and all that, but we are all sons and daughters of God. And we've all got to come to our position. So nature is waiting for its master, sons of God. I'm just going to keep you a couple more minutes. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Hallelujah. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. How many believes that? So we're still in a time of groaning, right? How many of you are satisfied tonight? Now there's a certain amount of your soul is satisfied, right? Your soul's no longer thirsting and longing and whatever. But the rest of us, I'm not satisfied, right? I go out and work in the yard and, you know, bend down, pick up some stuff, stand up again, and, you know, by the end of the day, you know, I'm talking about an hour later, I'm sore here and I'm sore there, and it's like, what's this all about? I'm tired of that, you know? I want to be able to do whatever it is that I want to do. I mean, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, right? I'm not satisfied. I'm groaning. I want to be changed. Amen. For a good part of my life, I've had dreams where I'm just kind of flying through the air. And this was even before I was born again of the Spirit. And, you know, it was later on in life that the Lord showed me, well, you're going to travel like a thought. You know, you were made to fly like an eagle, you know. You were made to not be bound by the laws of that govern nature, right? But you were created to rule over nature yourself. So, you know, I want to be able to go for a walk. And anybody, if you've ever been on a hike with me, it's an experience. Because I'm always, okay, just a little further. Are we there? Well, what's over on the other side? We'll turn around here soon. But, you know, you've only got so much energy, though, right? But one day, that won't even be a thought, right? One day, you'll just, if that's what you want to do, you'll do it. Maybe it'll take you 1,000 years to do it, but you'll do it, right? Hallelujah. So we're still in a time of groaning. We still get sick, right? There's nothing. We got to get that idea out of our mind. Well, if somebody gets sick, they must not be living right, or they must not be a Christian, or they must not have faith. No. You get sick because we're still subject to these things, but we've been given power to battle that and to kick it out. But we are not promised that we won't have a battle. In fact, we are promised that we will have a battle, right? And we're told to resist the devil. So, we're still in a time of groaning, but we're at the top of the pyramid. And that tells us, Brother Calvo, we're not going to groan forever, right? Just a little more groaning. Excuse me, but a little more groaning. At the top is where we're brought back to speaking terms again, speaking conditions, where Adam spoke in the garden and nature obeyed. On Mount Change, Jesus was to produce a deliverance. And what did he, remember he was told you're going to go die in Jerusalem? What did he do? He went to Jerusalem to produce a deliverance. He opened a door. By conquering death through death, he opened a door, and then the Holy Ghost brought deliverance. By the Holy Ghost, you and I have the power to live tonight an overcoming life. See, that's the other part of if you're putting things off into the future, well, then you're going to put off overcoming. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have in you the power to overcome. Moses and Elijah were the fullness, representing the fullness of him in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And we have seven angels representing the fullness of the church ages in our day, telling us, think about it, friends, Moses and Elijah, speaking to Jesus on top of a mountain before a change, before he's paid the price and before his glorification. And here you and I, we're at the end of an age, and there's seven angels representing the fullness of the church ages, telling you and I that we are to deliver the saints of the church ages. Okay, you'll catch on to that in just a moment. Jesus brought back with him the Old Testament saints. Right? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. We'll be caught up together with them, right? But they got to come back first, right? The Old Testament saints had to be brought forth first before Jesus ascended. So we bring back the New Testament saints, and they have to receive their change first before we can receive ours. Now, Brother Baker, I'm just really struggling with this. You're saying the bride's going to bring them back? Yeah, the bride is going to bring them back. How is she going to do it? By no longer hindering? That's the whole issue, right? It's not a matter of us doing something to bring them back. It's a matter of us stop doing something so that they can come. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There was something against each age that hindered the coming of the Lord. Right? Well, when we quit hindering, then the dead in Christ can come, pick up bodies. Praise the name of the Lord. When they appear, Brother Brown says, you'll feel a sudden sweep over you and you'll be changed. So we've been brought to the top of a mountain as the bridegroom was brought to a top of a mountain and was visited by angels. We've been brought to a top of a mountain in this last age and have been visited by angels. The voice of God, seven thunders. And we've had our final message. And the capstone came with that capstone revelation, Christ himself, seven anointings of seven ages, has commissioned you and I to deliver all nature. And we have a rapturing message, and we are the rapture message, and we are called for a purpose. All the message, Jesus was the Redeemer. But he had to receive a message from Moses and Elijah for him to go and be the Redeemer. Right? He had to hear that message. But yet he was the Redeemer. So, you as this last church, as believers, this message that's come is just trying to, it's who you are. You are those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And your message tells you that, shows you that. And that's Brother John, that's why we can believe it more than they could believe it. I mean, they had faith, they were believing the Lord was coming, but they didn't have a thus saith the Lord. You know, it's going to happen. They didn't have the faith. It wasn't revealed to them. This is it. This is us, right? They were believing unto receiving. We're receiving. We're those. We're those ones. The dead are not going to continue to sleep. First, there's a resurrection. So let me read a couple more quotes. We'll stop. Questions and answers. Now, the first thing that happens when we're resurrected, the ones which are living will just still remain. The ones which are living will just still remain. The resurrection will set in first, the resurrection of those that are asleep. There'll be awakening time. And those which are asleep in the dust now, not those that are asleep in sin, because they just sleep right on. They don't awake for another 1,000 years. But those that are sleeping in the dust will be awakened first. And these corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden, they'll be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was. Friends, you'll realize, wow, this wasn't just a story about Abraham. Abraham was foreshadowing my day and my message. You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. You know, I don't know about you. Well, it just depends on how old you are and what condition you're in and all that. But you know, I looked in the mirror yesterday and I said, honey, my hair is turning white. Maybe it was this morning. It's turning white faster than it was before. You know, I don't like it. Bless her heart. She, oh, well, I sure like it, honey. That's good because you got it too. But you realize people tell her that all, oh, I love your hair. They're not making it up. Some people actually think that she did something to her hair to make it that, you know. But they tell, oh, I just love your hair. So I guess it's a good thing to just be content with where you're at, right? But I'm not. I look in the mirror and I see, you know, things are sagging, and I realize, you know, push your jaw out a little bit and it'll tighten your skin. But now you look like, right? And then you're trying to move your body in a certain position, and you realize your shoulders are kind of slumping over, and you know, and you go to the doctor and he says, let me measure you. And you're like, why do you want to measure me? I'm 6 foot tall. He says, just get over there. And 5 foot 11. It's like, give me back my inch. Oh, then they want to ding you for it. That's what I really love. You know, there's this certain thing called body mass index, right? And so they look at the whether you have a large frame, a medium frame, or a small frame, and they look at how tall you are. And then they say, well, for this kind of a frame and for that height, this is how much you should weigh, right? So I lost an inch, and they think I should lose weight. I got an appointment here at the end of the month, and I'm going to go in and tell them, look, you know, get your metrics right here. I lost an inch, but I could still have those. I don't need to weigh less because I lost an inch. I lost an inch in height, but not an inch in, well, anyway. What am I trying to tell you? I'm looking forward to that change. And it's not a pipe dream. It's not a bedtime story. But we're talking about, think about it. I'm talking about, in fact, this popped into my mind. So, you know, we would always try and go to the Tucson Tabernacle when they'd have their annual meetings. And I knew that I was going to get raked over the coals every time I went, but I'm just trying to show the right spirit. And I was never disappointed because I was always raked over the coals. And I remember, so I'm 35 or 36 years old, and Brother Perry from the pulpit, you know, towards the end of one of the services, he says, Brother Baker, and he saw me sitting with some younger brothers, he says, are you dying your hair? First of all, I was 35, 36. I didn't need to, right? But just him saying it, now, you know, he was, the whole point of it, he was trying to embarrass me, and it worked. Everybody that I ever saw after that, they just took it as gospel. Brother Perry said it over the pulpit, so you must be dying your hair, right? So what am I trying to say? I want that hair back that don't need to be dyed. Right? I want Brother Andy's hair. I'm claiming it. I don't know what you're going to do, but yeah. I want that inch back in my height, and right? I want that spring in my step, and I want my eyesight to be restored, and you know, all my natural teeth, and I'm going to get it. Sister Baker, don't get too used to this hair. It's going to change. That's your day and its message. Let's don't wait to get excited. Let's recognize what's going to take place. You know what I'm really looking forward to is seeing somebody that's changed. Because when I see them, I'll know the move is on. I'll know my change is right around the corner. If the Lord tarries, I'll draw Social Security, but I'd rather not have to do that. And I'm getting closer and closer and closer to that. Hurry up, Lord. Those that are sleeping in the dust will be awakened first. These corruptible bodies will put on incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden, there'll be like a sweep go over us and you're changed. Another place he says you'll feel a little prick, you know, a little, sounds like there'll be just a little bit of pain, but it probably can't be as bad as the pains that I'm having now anyway. So you're turned back like Abraham was. From an old man to a young man. From an old woman to a young woman. What's this sudden change? After a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you see those then who are already resurrected. Friends, this is before we get out of here. Does that sound like manifested sons of God? Before we cross over? Showing the power of this blood, showing that redemption is complete. After a while, you're traveling like a thought. And you can see those then who've already resurrected. Oh, what an hour, he says. Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. You've got a great future. You know, if nothing good happens to you until that time, just that, just being a part of that, if that's the only part of the word that you live out, that's the best part. So we are going to see partial deliverance, but it's not yet time to deliver all of nature, right? So what's the order of events that Brother Branham told us? First, the dead in Christ rise. Second, you are changed. Third, you travel like a thought. You meet others. And then fourth, we go to a meeting in the air, go to a wedding supper, right? And then fifth, we have a mission to deliver all nature at the Battle of Armageddon. That's when it's all settled. When it's all finalized. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but him, he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you might eat of the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. You're part of that army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls which were filled with their flesh. So this is the final battle. This is the enemy being subdued, wiped out, fowls of the air feeding upon him, and then all of nature is completely delivered. Again, what was the Holy Ghost given for? The same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus. When it'll be so powerful, that body will come into this group of church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. Now let me read that again, because you're tired and, you know, I'm in overtime here, 15 minutes, and I said I was going to close 15 minutes ago, right? And you're thinking about chimichangas, and you're looking at my hair, saying, yeah, it does look kind of washed out. You know, it's kind of interesting. I love my family. I love my dear brother. My brother's 3 years older than me. And when we went to my dad's funeral a few years back, I had a lot more gray hair than he did, you know. And my sister was commenting on that. She said, isn't it something, you know, how your brother, you know, Mike, his hair is just, you know, it's just so gracefully, it's hardly any gray. And, you know, and look at yours. It's like, he's 3 years older than me. We're related. You think that's natural? So either I'm dyeing my hair and getting criticized for that, or I'm being criticized because I didn't dye my hair. Yeah. My brother's hair is the model, right? Nah, it's that way in a family, isn't it? Yeah, sure. But I'm not bitter. I got a whole head of hair waiting for me, and it's the right color. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, let me read that again. I loosened you up just a little bit, which was what I was trying to do. The same spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus. When it'll be so powerful, that body will come into this group of church that'll draw the rest of them from the grave. So Christ coming into this body will draw the rest of them from the grave. And there'll be a resurrection. So, can you see it? They're waiting on us. Because it's through us that this is going to take place. Right? It'll be Christ, but it'll be Christ in you that's bringing them forth from the grave. He says that's what the Holy Ghost is for. What is the Holy Ghost? He says without us, they cannot be made perfect. They're waiting on us. Last quote. Paragraph 51. I don't know if I should read this. Want to take a vote? Yes? No? Maybe? I don't care? Okay. Paragraph 51. Huh? Lost my notes. Well, I did too. Okay. Come here. Do you mind? I pick on you too much, Brother Henry. I'm giving you a break.
I'm better at reading.
Just read the whole thing?
Just read that first sentence.
Paragraph 51, God's waiting on me and you.
Amen. Can you read that again?
Yes.
God's waiting on me and you.
No, that couldn't be. We're waiting on him, right? Read it again.
God's waiting on me and you.
Thank you. If this wasn't so awkward, I'd have some of you other brothers come up and read the next verse and the next verse. But just for the sake of time, and so I'm not too big of a liar here. God's waiting on me and you, right? Then he says, the church is waiting on me and you. God's waiting on me and you. And the church is waiting on me and you. So what are we waiting on? We don't get to wait on anybody. They're all waiting on us. Adoption time, when God can pour into us his fullness. We're talking about a body receiving the fullness of the word, the fullness of his presence, his power, his resurrection. Listen to this. That when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us. You mean we're actually going to see him in manifestation, surely? Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead. Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead. And we go into the rapture. He says, now we're going to show after a while that just those who are filled with the Holy Ghost goes in the rapture. For the rest of the dead live not for the space of 1,000 years. That's right. Just the Holy Spirit-filled people was all that went in the rapture. Notice he doesn't say just some of the Holy Spirit-filled people. All of the Holy Spirit-filled people. But only the Holy Spirit-filled people. So he's not talking about the baptism on your spirit or on your flesh, but in your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm enjoying this. And I'm look, there's more to come. There's more that's been said. And it's not to any other group. This wasn't preached to other groups that, look, God's waiting on me and you. It wasn't preached to any other age. The church is waiting on me and you. It wasn't preached in any other age that the fullness is going to be poured out in a body, except this age. It wasn't preached in any other age that the church and Christ would become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead. But you're living in that time. Now, what was your complaint? What am I supposed to feel sorry for you about? How are you deprived and lowly and looked over and, you know, getting gypped, cheated? As we read earlier, the sufferings, the trials, the things of this life are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. What a time. What an hour. And you know, it's getting darker and darker, and there's a great falling away that's taking place. The world is going insane. I mean, can you believe some of the things that people say with a straight face? Right is wrong and wrong is right. Children that haven't even come to the age of pure puberty have to decide what sex they are. You know, the birth certificate's not enough. How twisted. You wouldn't even think that we'd be having these discussions, right? But at the same time, with all that craziness, there's wonderful things going on. And there's a great event that's just about to take place. And you've been called to be a part of that. Now, friends, I'm not making little of any trials that you're going through. I'm going through trials. You might get the idea that I'm not, because I don't maybe talk about it, or I refuse to go around with a frown on my face. But I'm not going through any less than you are. It wouldn't be fair, for one thing. And for another thing, there'd be no character formed in me if that was the case, right? It's through these sufferings that we learn obedience, and that the character is manifested, right? So just because I'm not talking about all the bad stuff that's happening all the time doesn't mean that bad stuff's not happening. But I choose to be positive. I choose to focus on the hallelujah side of things. I choose to look into the light. And I choose to make that my focus. Because I've been chosen. Now you fill in the blank for yourself. Don't let my testimony be a stumbling block to you. Don't sit there, well, I can't believe he says this, that, and the other. What I'm trying to do is challenge you. You've got your own testimony. But my testimony is I've been chosen to live in the greatest hour. Where nature even is going to be delivered. Where my body is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm living in an hour where I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to be cremated or left on some kind of a, you know, sticks up in the air and burned with fire, or put into a pine box or a mahogany box or a concrete box or an urn. I'm living in an hour where I'll just be changed. I'm pretty happy about that. I'm pretty excited. I don't want to start believing it when it's too late to believe. I have to be, if that's you, there's an expectation. There's a faith that will anchor in you, that will identify, that's me. That's my day. That's my message. That's who I am. That's what I am. That's the part of the body that I've been called to live out. So rather than looking for women in purple dresses and wondering whether they're vice presidents or presidents or this or that or the other, look for mature sons and daughters of God that are surrendering and allowing the Lord to have preeminence. That's the sign that you should be looking for. And then look for the dead in Christ to start showing up. I wonder how that's going to be, Brother Eli. We just, you know, is it Sister Joyce that's going to tell us, you know, I saw my dad the other day? And you'll say, well, I didn't see him. But she, well, I did. I don't know. He's my dad. And he's just like that photograph when he had black hair. Right? And then the next thing you know, Brother Eli says, well, I saw my cousin or my uncle or whatever, right? Brother Dutch says, I saw Mike Calderwood, right? And he wasn't tired. Working on a roof. Burning candles at the both ends. I mean, friends. We're... This is our day. This is our time. And there needs to be an expectation. We got to hear it. It's got to be preached. We got to hear it. Believe it. Then we got to look for it. Be an expectation. So let me ask you a question. I'm half hour over time now, so I have to stop. But let me ask you a question here tonight. Knowing that, what kind of a condition do you want to be in when you see the dead in Christ? You know, do you want to be in a big fuss? And do you want to be down in the dumps? Wanting to quit? Or do you want to be on the hallelujah side? Because they're waiting on us. Hallelujah. Man, I got a drinking problem here. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we love you so much. Lord, forgive us for the chopped up way that the message is brought sometimes, but Lord, we're just trying to follow your leading and the direction and the feel of the people and the pull of the people. But Lord, we want to catch whatever we're supposed to catch for our day. And we want to believe it. We want to be in expectation. We want to look for it. We don't want any hang-ups. We don't want any hindrances. And we don't want to lose our focus, Lord. We want to keep our focus on our purpose. But Lord, we want it to be a vision that's before us, that we're walking towards, that one day we'll just step in and we'll see that we're the fulfillment of it. I pray, Lord, that each and every one would be encouraged. I pray that each and every one would be strengthened. Lord, we do need encouragement as a people. Living in such a dark time, in such a dark hour, it's a time of great, great contrast where it's lighter than it's ever been, but it's also darker than it's ever been. Heaven and earth are embracing, and there's two kingdoms that are battling it out. And one kingdom is being cast down, and another kingdom is coming into its position, into full authority or possession. Lord, we want to think on these things. We want to speak on these things. We want to talk about these things. Encourage one another by these things. And Lord, till it just becomes like secondhand, just knowing what our purpose is, what we're walking into, and Lord, with faith to believe every step of the way. Won't you grant it, Lord? I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one. Each one would be encouraged. Each one would be strengthened. And Lord, those of us that need comforting, and we do, Lord, we go through all these different trials and tests and sufferings, and there's times when we do need to be comforted, and we pray for your comfort as only you can give. But Lord, we pray most of all for that faith to anchor down on the inside of us, Lord, to walk in the message of our day. Won't you grant it, Lord? We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Hallelujah. Amen. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thou art the potter, for thou art the potter. change my heart.